Good morning, and welcome to Truth Unchanged and Unchanging, the radio ministry of First Church of Merrimack, New Hampshire. We'll have more information on our church at the end of today's program. Today, Pastor Matthew Judd is completing his short series of messages on Psalm 119. Next week, he will begin a new series on the Old Testament book of Exodus. Today's sermon is titled, Resolutions, Part 2, I Will Delight and Remember, and is based on verse 16. Please listen with me now to Pastor Judd.
I then invite you to turn with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Again, we are looking at the second stanza of Psalm 119. The first stanza, every verse begins with the Hebrew letter Aleph. In the second stanza, every verse begins with the letter Beit. And so we read verses 9 through 16, and our focus tonight will be on verse 16. Hear then God's word. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts. I will contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Having heard God's word, what is your response?
Amen.
Dear people of God, we are perhaps familiar with the resolve of the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, which are put on display in the New Testament scriptures, indeed in all of scripture. But here I'm thinking particularly of the Apostle Paul as he says things like, forgetting those things which are behind, I press on towards the mark of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. As he says, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day. There is a certain resolve, a firmness in following the Lord Jesus Christ, which is put on display for us in the Holy Scriptures, that we would be those who follow hard after the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it was last Lord's Day that we began to learn that you and I must resolve to be devoted to God's Word, that you and I must be devoted, we must be resolved to be devoted to God's Word. And we see this in verses 15 and 16 as there is this shift in this second stanza of Psalm 119 from six verses that are all in the past tense. In Hebrew, it's called the perfect tense. And there's a shift from six verses, every verb in the past tense, to then verses 15 and 16, verses 15 and 16 in the future tense, in the imperfect tense, as it would be called in the Hebrew language. And that indicates that there is indeed a shift in what is being set before us here in the inspired Word of God. There is a resolve which is placed upon the psalmist's lips, and a resolve which is placed upon your lips, even as you hide this portion of God's Word in your heart. And so you learn that you must resolve to be devoted to God's Word. We saw last time several reasons why we need to be resolved to be devoted to God's Word. And we began to look at in what way we should be resolved to be devoted to God's Word. And there are four verbs which we find in verses 15 through 16 which indicate this resolve which God would indeed work in your heart by His gospel, even by the power of the Holy Spirit connecting you to Jesus Christ. I shall meditate on your precepts, and I shall contemplate your ways. I shall delight myself in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. It's these four, these four resolutions, this fourfold resolution, which God would indeed put on your lips, that you might make this resolve, that you might be resolved to be devoted to His Word. And so last Lord's Day, we looked at the resolve to meditate and the resolve to contemplate or to look carefully into God's ways. And tonight we come to the third and the fourth aspect of this resolution, which God would indeed have you to make as His blood-bought people. I shall delight myself in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. And so, first of all, this delighting yourself in God's statutes, this delighting yourself in God's statutes. The word which is used here for delight is an interesting word. It's used two times in the book of Isaiah, and the two times that it's used in the book of Isaiah really begin to unfold for us what it means to delight in something. Now, first in Isaiah chapter 66, the last chapter of Isaiah, this is used in verse 12. And it is there that we read the following in Isaiah 66 and verse 12. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then you shall feed. On her sides you shall be carried and be dandled on her knees. It's that word dandled, as it is translated in the New King James, which is the exact same Hebrew word as in verse 16 of Psalm 119. I will delight myself in your statutes. What does it mean to be dandled on the knees? Well, what it means is that there is a small child. Perhaps that child is 2 years of age, maybe 2.5 years of age, and there is mother holding him on her knees, and she is playing with him. She is, in fact, making those knees to go up and down and up and down. This is the way the farmer rides. This is the way the farmer rides. Dandled on the knees. That's the idea that is underlying this word. I will delight myself in your statutes. But this is used again in Isaiah chapter 11. In Isaiah chapter 11, another very interesting use of this Hebrew word. It's in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 8, where it is speaking about the full completion of the work of Messiah in the new heavens and the new earth. And there is here the great anticipation that the curse of sin is going to be completely taken away. And we hear in verse 7, for example, the cow and the bear shall graze, and their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And then we come to verse 8, where this Hebrew word is used. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. The serpent, who was the occasion for sin entering into the world, is now going to be grabbed by the three-year-old by the neck and shaken back and forth. And there'll be no fear of that serpent whatsoever. Indeed, that little nursing child will play even by the cobra's hole. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. But it's the word play, which is the exact same Hebrew word. We might say that this Hebrew word for delight is speaking of what we might call holy recreation. And that's the idea. Even we might say, with a measure of carefulness, holy engaged entertainment. That there's a delight, a joy that is to be found in God's statutes. That just as a child is dandled on the knee, just as a nursing infant plays by the cobra's hole, so I shall delight myself in your statutes. Now, to delight doesn't mean to treat them playfully in the sense of irreverently, but that there is indeed exuberance. There is joy. There is a holy recreation, almost like the 2.5-year-old on the father's lap saying, "Do it again, Dad. Do it again." And that's the idea here. Lord, I don't want to just academically know your statutes. I don't want to just be content with bare head knowledge. I want to delight. I want to find my joy in your statutes, which are engraved and inscribed upon my heart. I want to find joy in your ways, the joy of obedience and fellowship with you, my God. I want to indeed delight in knowing your statutes, delight in owning them as mine, and delight in obeying them to your honor and to your praise. Yes, when God's law is written on the heart and desired in the will and carried out in the life, duty becomes delight. Duty becomes delight and in glory. This will be your experience. There will be nothing of drudgery in God's statutes in the new heavens and the new earth. There will be joy and delight in the ways of the Lord without interruption, without distraction. And here, the blood-bought child of God makes a resolution. I shall delight myself in your statutes. Now, to be sure, you and I are tempted, perhaps, at times, to see God's inscriptions as outdated, or old-fashioned, or impractical, or intolerable drudgery, and not a delight. But that is indeed a temptation of our sinful flesh, of the world, and of the devil. I'm reminded of 1 John chapter 5, where God very clearly speaks about His commandments and what our attitude should be towards them as followers of Jesus Christ. It's in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2. Now God says this, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." And listen, "and His commandments are not burdensome." You may be tempted to think they're burdensome, but God's commandments do not put you in a straitjacket. God's commandments, His statutes, which He writes upon your heart in the blood of the new covenant, set you free. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. And so not only will I meditate on your precepts, rehearsing them, speaking loudly, enthusiastically about your commandments, ever repeating them, focusing my concentration on them to drown out all other voices or distractions. Not only will I fix my eyes on your pathways so that I might not miss any turns, but I shall delight myself in your statutes with holy recreation, delighting to walk with you in fellowship and in obedience to your ways, that your image would be fully restored in me through the work of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, here is the resolution that you and I need to make tonight. I will meditate on your precepts. I will contemplate your ways. I will delight in your statutes. And then we come to the fourth aspect of this resolution, this resolve to be devoted to God's word. I will not forget your word. Or we could say it positively. I will always remember your word. Yes, we need to be a people who are resolved to remembering the Word of God, because it is God's Word which connects us to the God of the Word. Our tendency is to be forgetful. Our tendency is to, as it were, allow ourselves to be distracted, to have our minds filled with other things, and thereby to forget the Word of God and thereby forget the God of the Word. And yet, here is the resolve that you and I need, that we need to make in the power of the Holy Spirit and faith in Jesus. I shall not forget your word. Rather, I will be ever mindful of it. Think about it. Nothing is more dishonoring than to forget something important which somebody who is important to you has told you. Nothing is more dishonoring than to forget. To forget. But God puts upon your lips tonight this resolve that you would be one who remembers His Word. To forget God's Word is to ignore His commandments and to follow our own ways. And we see a certain interrelationship between each of these four aspects of this resolution, don't we? Because delight in God's statutes prevents forgetfulness. And meditation on God's precepts prevents forgetfulness. Looking carefully into God's pathways prevents forgetfulness. And remembrance of God's Word fuels meditating and fuels careful looking into the ways of God and delighting in His statutes. And so here we must remember that God has spoken and we must not forget what He has said. It is one of those sobering things in the book of Deuteronomy that God warns us of again and again. When you come into the land and you have these houses which you didn't build, fields which you didn't plant, fruit trees which you did not plant or cultivate, that you have the spoil of your enemies provided to you, that you enjoy prosperity, the milk and honey of the land, be careful not to forget the Lord your God. It's funny how we can forget God in our prosperity. And it often takes God's chastening and bringing trial into our lives to remind us of Him and of His Word. And in one sense, it should be that both His blessing us with prosperity and His taking away of things in trial and tribulation, both should be ever reminding us of His holy word. That I would be preaching to myself as the psalmist in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. That would be what is proclaimed to me. That's part of this loud, enthusiastic meditation of speaking to self, of looking into God's pathways and delighting in His statutes. And so here is the resolve which God sets forth for you and me. And it's interesting, as we look at Psalm 119 as a whole, we might wonder, where does Psalm 119 end? Well, it ends in the 176th verse, right? It's a long psalm. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. But look at that last verse with me in verse 176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. It almost seems like there is tension in verse 176. On the one hand, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. And we might think, well, if you, David, didn't forget God's commandments, how did you go astray like a lost sheep? Why do you need the shepherd, the good shepherd, to seek after you? Oh, it is in the remembrance of God's commandments that we see that we have gone astray. And that we never graduate from our need of the Good Shepherd seeking after us. There is no tension in Psalm 119, verse 176. There's no tension there. There's actually, we might say, the explanation. The only reason that I know I've gone astray and that I need the Lord to seek me is because I remember His commandments and that I have fallen short of them. The one who doesn't remember God's commandments doesn't think she is astray. Doesn't think that he needs to be sought and found. But the one who remembers the Word of God, the commandments of God, sees the ongoing need. And so there's this interrelationship then of these four aspects to this resolve to be devoted to God's Word. That all of this would be unto the practicing of God's precepts, the walking in His pathways, the obeying of His statutes, and the keeping of His Word. Oh, we need to be a people who pray that God would sanctify our memories. Because it is so easy to forget. It is so easy to forget. And so tonight, may this fourfold resolution resonate with your heart and your conscience and be indeed placed upon your lips loudly, that you would resolve to be devoted to God's Word. I will meditate on your precepts. I will contemplate, I will look into your ways, I will delight myself in your statutes, I will not forget your Word. And so this then brings us to a final point tonight, as we would ask another question. Not only in what way must we resolve to be devoted to God's Word, but how? How can you make this practical in terms of a resolution for yourself and for your family? How can you make this practical? And let me suggest to you that you need to be one who draws a line in the sand. If you are going to be resolved to be devoted to God's Word, you need to draw a line in the sand. What do I mean? Well, you need to be resolved to draw a line in the sand with regard to hearing the Word of God. Now, obviously we're here in evening worship. Many of you were here in morning worship. You're back for a second time. But it's applicable nonetheless that you need to be a people. I need to be a follower of Jesus who draws a line in the sand with regard to coming to the hearing of the Word of God. That it's non-negotiable. And that drawing of the line in the sand is not legalism. It is rather gospel-driven because I realize that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds forth out of the mouth of God, and that God has appointed the public reading and preaching of His Word for my good, to connect me to Jesus that I might hear His voice. And so you need to be a people who draw a line in the sand and you say that nothing is going to prevent me from coming to hear the Word of God on the Lord's Day. God has given me 6 days to do my labor, and He has given me 6 days in order to work, but He's given me 1 day to be set aside, to be devoted to listening to His Word, to be reminded that He remembers me. So that I would remember Him. And so I need to draw a line in the sand with regard to hearing. I cannot let anything get in the way of that commitment. I often think of it along these lines, just in practical terms. Many of you know what it's like to work in a workaday job, Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday. And I ask the question, what is it that prevents you from going to work? Well, there's probably very little which prevents you from going to work? Probably very little indeed. That you need to show up to work, and you need to show up regularly to work, or you're not going to have a job to show up to. And you get it. You understand that. You have a non-negotiable commitment to go to work, lest you lose your job. And I guess what I would want to encourage you is to think about coming and placing yourself underneath of the hearing and preaching of God's word in the same way. That the only thing which should prevent me from being there would be something similar to what prevents me from going to work on Tuesday. That if I can't get up out of bed because I am sick, and I need indeed to stay in bed because I am sick, well, then you don't go to work. Well, in the same fashion, right? Perhaps that is the bar in terms of preventing you from coming to place yourself under the hearing of the Word of God. It is so easy, as I've already said, to let other things crowd out these sorts of commitments. And yet the Lord wants you to resolve to be devoted to His Word. But you need to not only draw lines in the sand with regard to hearing the Word of God, you need to draw lines in the sand with regard to your reading of God's Word, your private reading of the Word of God. That God, by His abundant goodness, has provided for you a translation of His holy word into your native language so that you can read God's word regularly. And there are many of you who have a reading plan in terms of reading the word of God. And praise be His name that you have that commitment already ingrained in terms of your personal reading of the word of God. But maybe there are some who haven't yet had that ingrained in terms of a daily non-negotiable commitment. Maybe even some of the young people here have struggled with finding a reading plan where they are regularly every day in the Word of God. Let me suggest, if you don't have a reading plan, that one of the easiest reading plans for you to take up and to begin to practice is to having already drawn a line in the sand with regard to hearing the Word of God on the Lord's Day, now what you can do is to take the morning passage, which was preached upon in morning worship, and the evening passage, which was preached on in evening worship, and simply read those two passages every day of the week. And so, for today, that would be John 14, verses 7 through 11, and that would be Psalm 119 and verse 16. There is a very accessible reading plan in taking the sermon text from the morning and evening worship service and actually reviewing those texts Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And perhaps there is even something particularly practical in that because you are reviewing what you heard on the Lord's Day. That by having that sort of a reading plan, you are constantly reminded of what you heard on the Lord's Day, fueling you by the grace of Jesus Christ in the power of the Spirit to put into practice what you have heard. So you need to draw a line with regard to hearing. You need to draw a line in the sand with regard to reading. You need to draw a line in the sand, let me suggest to you, also with memorizing the Word of God. Hiding God's Word in your heart. You won't always have a Bible in your tool belt that you can pull out in order to open up to, I think that's on the right-hand side at the upper part of the page. And no, we live life and we have responsibilities. But in all of our responsibilities, we need to have at our disposal the living Word of God to be able to meditate upon it, be reminded of what God says, and to be focused upon the power which God promises through His Word. And so I challenge you in terms of memorizing God's word. And that has been a challenge throughout in terms of these past 8 weeks as we have gone through verses 9 through 16 of Psalm 119. My encouragement to you each week is memorize one verse each week and then put it all together in terms of verses 9 through 16. And there may be other passages of scripture which have been particularly powerful in your life. I think several years ago, actually 2 years ago, I memorized Psalm 103. What a beautiful psalm, and that is a favorite of many. But again, memorizing that portion of God's word, and I would be driving, commuting 25 minutes, and I would repeat it out loud in the car. I couldn't have a Bible in front of me unless I wanted to crash in terms of my driving, but I had God's word available to me, and I could have it hidden in my heart and on my lips and in my ears as it was becoming more and more a part of me. And so again, there are different plans for memorizing God's word, but certainly this little sermon series, these 8 sermons through Psalm 119 verses 9 through 16 are an exhortation to you, right? To hide God's word in your heart that you would not sin against him. And so here are 3 lines in the sand that I want to challenge you to draw with regard to hearing, with regard to reading, with regard to memorizing, and a 4th line in the sand. Hearing, reading, and memorizing without turning that into praying very often falls flat and can be a source of self-righteousness instead of Christ dependency. And it is here that we must take what we hear, we must take what we read, we must take what we memorize and we must turn it relationally into prayer. God has spoken to me. And that word needs to be meditated upon, digested in such a way that I respond to the one who gave it in believing prayer in accord with what he has said to me. In fact, verses 9 through 16 of this psalm are all about speaking to the Lord, engaging him in believing prayer. And so if we are going to be resolved to be devoted to God's word, I need to draw a line in the sand with regard to hearing, reading, memorizing, and praying that word back to the Lord. Putting into practice piety in a relationship with God, which is close and filled with communion with God in the Spirit by Jesus Christ. And so here, as we tonight are challenged to resolve to be devoted to God's word, we see in what way? By meditating, contemplating, delighting, and remembering, by making a resolve to those 4 things. But here now, trying to make it even more practical, challenging you, challenging myself to draw lines in the sand. And one last thing, just as we quickly close, and that is this, that if your resolution, your resolve to be devoted to God's word is going to stick, let me challenge you to make your resolution known to somebody else here tonight. God has given us one another. He has given us one another in order to assist one another in our worship of the Lord, in our faithful obedience to the Lord, in our gratitude to the Lord, in our intake of the Lord's word, in our meditating upon the Lord's word, in our memorizing of the Lord's word, and in our turning that word into believing prayer. There is nothing like making a resolution known to another brother or sister to help you to actually put into practice your resolution to be devoted to the Word of God. And I challenge you in this regard to look around tonight, to see your brother, your sister, to see your fellow church members here, and to see that not only can he or she be a blessing to me as I share my resolution with him or her, but I can be a blessing to him or her. Two can go much further than one by himself. And it is here that as we are mutually indwelt by the Holy Spirit, that we are to exhort one another. I'm reminded of Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, where God there says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." God has given us one another in just this fashion, that we indeed might help one another. And so, as we then do come to a close tonight, there is just one more thing that I want to emphasize, and that is your resolutions will fail unless they are founded upon God's resolution and commitment to you. Our call to worship tonight, a beautiful reminder, a beautiful reminder. The temptation of the follower of Jesus in his or her life might sound just like this: "The Lord has forsaken me, and the Lord has forgotten me." But what is the Lord's response? Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, but I will not forget you. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Oh, your resolution to be devoted to God's word and the God of the Word is only possible in connection with his resolve to not forget you. That the Lord Jesus has engraven your name on the palms of his hands. And he's engraved it not with a ballpoint pen, but with nails, as he was nailed to Calvary's cross for you, proving that he would never, ever forget you. And that is the basis of our resolution to be devoted to God's word and to the God of the word. And may that encourage you tonight, that the Lord remembers you. Amen. Let us pray. Our loving Father, we thank you for the practical instruction which you give us in your word. May we not go away from here just having your word bounce off of our eardrums, but may we recommit ourselves to be devoted to your word, to be devoted to your word because you have resolved to be devoted to us. You have proven it. You've written our names on your hands. And we thank you tonight for our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you that you, Lord Jesus, give us your word so that we would not forget. And so may we be a people who meditate, contemplate, who delight, and who remember. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today for our message entitled Resolutions, Part 2, I Will Delight and Remember. Be sure to join us next week for our new series on the Old Testament book of Exodus, right here on Truth, Unchanged and Unchanging. The First Church of Merrimack is a member congregation in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. What is the Orthodox Presbyterian Church? It is a denomination of like-minded congregations which subscribes to the Bible as God's infallible word of absolute truth. Building on the truth that the Bible is God's inspired word and that the Holy Spirit speaks to us by this divine book, we seek to understand, believe, and practice God's truth in Jesus Christ. We believe that God has shown himself in the Bible to be a holy trinity, one God, three eternal persons. We believe that Jesus Christ is God the Son, come in true but sinless human nature, so that he is truly God and truly sinless man at one and the same time, but only one unique person. We believe that Christ, in that human nature, perfectly obeyed his own divine law, and so fulfilled all righteousness, and then died on the cross as the atoning sacrifice or propitiation for our sins. We believe that he rose again from the dead, literally and physically, on the third day, that he has ascended to the Father's right hand and intercedes for all who trust in him at the right hand of the Father, and from there he will come again, literally and physically, in the Father's time. We believe that all who trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior do so because of the Holy Spirit applying God's grace as the gospel is being preached by the church, so that all of our salvation, including our faith and repentance, is a gift of God's grace, so that no one can boast. We believe that all who trust in Jesus Christ in this way are immediately and fully justified by faith alone. Christ's perfect righteousness is legally imputed to their account before the Father in heaven, and all their sins are pardoned. Therefore, they are immediately reconciled to God. We believe that all those who are thus justified are in the process of being sanctified or transformed by the grace of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit using his word, especially into his image. That we are in the process of becoming holy or set apart for God, both in heart and life. But this sanctification, unlike justification, is not perfected in this world, but is completed immediately upon the believer entering into God's presence.
Thank you for tuning in this morning for Truth Unchanged and Unchanging. We hope you will join us again next Saturday. The First Church of Merrimack is an Orthodox Presbyterian church located in southern New Hampshire. If you would like to learn more about us, you can find us online at fcmnh.org. Once again, that is fcmnh.org. If you do not have a home church, we cordially invite you to visit us at First Church. Our meeting house is located at 7 Babuzik Lake Road in Merrimack, New Hampshire, directly across from Merrimack Town Hall. And now, quoting from our church's first covenant of 1771, "To God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be ascribed exalted praises. Amen."